Father, we thank you that you are our strong tower. We thank you that we can come to you with all our needs. There are many under the sound of my voice that are standing in need of something from you, Father. Some are walking through grief, loss of a loved one, loss of a mother. Father, I pray that you would bring healing and comfort to them. Some need a healing hand for their hearts. Some hearts are heavy today. Father, we ask that you would open up our hearts and our minds to your truth, that we would just not be hearers of your word, but we would apply and do. So let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And all God's people said, amen. We're continuing. This is the last of our series called Final Questions for Jesus. Hey, Billy, can you turn me down just a little? I'm telling you, I'm trying not to hurt my moms today. We're loving on moms. Let's give mom a hand. Yep, I want all our moms. If your mom is still living, make sure you show up for her today. Make sure you call her, text her. No, call her. Show up at her house if it's not over 60 miles. Amen? Surprise mom today. This is the one day of the year that we get to spoil our moms and tell them how much we appreciate them. And so make sure you reach out to mom. As we finish our series, Final Questions for Jesus, we're out of the Gospels and we're into the book of Acts that goes over the ascension of the Lord Jesus. And it's part two of Luke's Gospel. How many people like to watch series? Come on, all my young people. How many people binge watch shows on Netflix? Thank you. And it's at the end of a series, you're like, wow, that left me hanging. I can't wait till the next series. Thank you. Well, that's what the Gospel of Luke was like. It was like Jesus just left us, and then all of a sudden Luke says, okay, I want to do an orderly account of the life of Christ and all that he did. And so he created that orderly account, and he put together Luke and Acts. And so today we're going to be in Acts chapter 1, and we're going to look at the first 11 verses. And part of that is to start shaping our thinking as the body of Christ, what he charged the first century body of Christ to do. And part of that was to share. If you look at my next slide, sharing is caring. We're living in the social media generation. We share a lot of things, right? We share funny things. Who are my friends that take pictures and send pictures of funny images as you see it? Yep. We like to share things in our experiences. We like to share recipes. We like to share restaurants that we think are very good. We like to share famous quotes. But I think today Jesus is going to try to challenge us to share the message of Christ, to share a message that lives forever, to share a message that affects all eternity. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to look at Luke chapter 19 on how Jesus lived on mission. It says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." That's those who are spiritually lost, those who did not know Christ. Everybody knows that we all, mankind, has one major problem. And no, It's not the U.S. debt. No, it is not the stock market. No, it is not finals week. Our major debt is we're separated from our Creator because of sin. And Jesus came on that mission to bring us back to the Father. And so man's greatest problem, it's real simple. Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." In other words, we missed the mark. Some way or another, we missed the mark. And we are separated. And then Romans goes on to tell us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Understanding that as we are separated, we're living in a state that says we have no hope because we have no way back to God. There is nothing that we can do. So Jesus came as that perfect offering to pay a price, that sin debt that we have, to bring us back to the Father. But not only did he pay that price, he gathered a group of disciples that he allowed to do life with them. Look at what it says in Matthew 4:19. This is when he called Peter. He says, "Follow me," he told them, "and I will make you fishers of men," or people. And so disciple making started with a relational component that just says, "Follow me," that just says, "Line up after me. Let's do life together." Let's think about it. Doing life together. How many people have been on a missions trip? Okay. How many people have gone away on vacation with family and friends? All right, there we are. I want you to think about vacation. Think about how excited you are for vacation. It's a 7-day trip. You're going on a cruise. There's no escape. It's just you, family, and friends. Day one, exciting. It's new. Exhilarating. Day two, you're enjoying the food. You're enjoying the pool. You're enjoying everyone around you. Day three, oh, some people are starting to annoy you. Some people are starting to really get underneath your skin. And what do we normally do? We start separating from them. Days 4 through 6, there are multiple people annoying you by then. And so a trip that's supposed to be a vacation of family and friends, you're finding a place to be by yourself. That's not what Jesus called the body of believers to do. He's called us to live life in community. And that means he's called us to bring our whole selves in. In other words, he's not calling us to send our best representative. Jim, you have your best representative. You look nice today. You're awake and you're alert. It's that person that we want the public to see and believe has it all together. But then we have our private selves that we only allow a few people to see, because if I showed you Daniel, you might not be able to handle it. And then we have that private person that we, at the end of the day, all have a little fear of something. That person we hide, and that person we don't let out very often, because that person's easily hurt. Well, Jesus is saying, "I want your personal person. I want that person to show up. Because when they lived life for 3.5 years, you couldn't hide for 3.5 years who you really were." Hence, Peter always spoke up. P- Peter was that one that would speak his mind. The rest of them would think it, but Peter would say it. And so they lived life relationally with them. But Jesus was very intentional about the things he said and he did around the disciples. He modeled what it looked like. He empowered them to go do. And then here comes that F word. No, not what you're thinking, Daniel. He gave them feedback on how they did the mission to help them grow to become more like him. And then he told them, when you're fully mature and you've learned everything, you're going to learn to start fishing for people. So those people that God's put in your life, you're going to learn to share all that I've done in your life. You're not going to be those that shrink back. And so he was encouraging them before they even understood that he was calling them to something greater than what they could ever imagine. Church is not just a huddle. We don't come to just hear a good word. We come to be inspired. We come to be encouraged. We come to be convicted. And then we go do. Let church say amen. You go do. Oh, Henry, you go do. And that's what Jesus is trying to prepare them for, to go do. Look at what he says in Luke 24 at the end of his ministry. And he said, yes, it is written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of Jesus' name in all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. Here it is. You are witnesses of all these things. So in other words, Jesus was letting them know there's one master, that's me. There's one message, it's about me and the forgiveness of sins. And there's one mission, the nations. It's all about the nations. Sometimes we get confused and make it about our small little world. Jesus was calling them to spread that word all to the nations. And so let's jump into Acts chapter 1. Here we have is another recap. He says, I wrote the first narrative, the Gospel of Luke, Theopolis, about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up. After he had given instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them in many convincing proofs, appearing to them for over a period of 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And so Jesus at the very end kept reminding them what their assignment was once he was gone. It's very interesting that Luke says that Jesus began to do and to teach. Well, the book of Acts is the continuation of what Jesus taught and did. So Jesus is still working in the book of Acts. And the book of Acts, it used to be called the Acts of the Apostle. Many theologians like to call it the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one that was promised to help them to be good witnesses, to help them not shrink back for moments. And so Luke is reminding them, okay, what Jesus began, you guys are getting ready to take over. So Valley, I want us to hear what Jesus began, he wants us to take over. I hear the question, take over what? That's the next question. Sharing his message. Living life on mission. Look at verse 4. And while he was with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, which he had said, "You have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but you will baptize with the Holy Spirit in a few days." Waiting is one of those things that I do not have the capacity to do. How many people in a grocery store you see a shorter line jump lines? Ask me all day, every day. And then when you jump lines, the woman has to change the tape. And then as she's changing the tape, you're looking back at the last line that you were in, and the guy that's behind you is walking out the store, and you go like, if I just stayed, I would have made it through. I think too many times when God calls us to wait, that's a season of preparation. What are you doing in those times when God calls you to wait? For the disciples, as God was telling them to wait, they were hearing about the kingdom of God. They were hearing about future things. They were hearing about, you're going to be able to judge the 12 tribes. You're going to have a seat, and you're going to be one of my judges. And they're sitting there thinking, wow, that's going to be awesome. I can't wait till that kingdom comes. I can't wait until you actually do that. They were hearing about the reign and the rule of God, the millennial kingdom, 1,000 years. And they were just in awe of those moments. But remember when you have little kids and you tell them, we're getting ready to take a trip? And if it's to someplace like Disney, you don't tell them until you're on the plane. Because otherwise, it's like, when are we leaving? Are we leaving today? Are we leaving tomorrow? Every day you talk to them, it's about, when are we leaving? That's kind of what happened to the disciples. They lost a little bit of the focus on the here and now, and they jumped immediately to the future. How many of us lose the here and now? How many of us lose those opportunities to share the love of Christ with people that God's placed in our life? And what does it mean to share the love of Christ? That means to be patient with people. You know how you share something with somebody and you know whether they're into it or not? My daughter likes to share and overshare. And if, by chance, you don't give her the right emotion, she tells you, well, you're not excited. I probably shouldn't even told you. I'm excited. What do you want me to do, cartwheels? My excitement is a little different than my wife's excitement, but we're both processors. Anybody else process news? You sit there and think for a while. On vacation, my wife got some news for my daughter. She got it first. I'm like, who am I? Why didn't you just call us both together? Then she comes out and she shares news with me. Guess who won in the excitement category? This guy. Now, that's not saying very much. She's like, you are more excited than mom. I said, well, was mom doing something? She was like, not really. I said, but if you didn't have her undivided attention, she really didn't hear all that you were sharing. You got my undivided attention because I was sitting out here just looking at the sun. How many times have God called us to do something, that we didn't really hear it, but heard it. I give you another example. This same child that we have, when they were younger, we thought had a hearing problem. So we took them to our pediatrician. Great guy. Henry, he did all the tests. He looked at us and said, nothing's wrong with her. I said, you better check your test. Because every time we call her name, she does not respond. Henry, you know what he gave me a diagnosis of? She has selective hearing. She hears when she wants to hear. It's like, what is that? Is that even a diagnosis? He said, Mr. Brown, yes, it is. Henry?
Yeah.
And I'm looking at him, and I told my wife, after we got out of that appointment, I was like, we got to find another pediatrician. Because she does not hear. I have a pretty loud voice. If I call her name and she does not move, what do you think? She's got a hearing problem, right? If you say certain things, she moves. Like, hey, we got Oreos over here. Where? I'm like, what in the world? Doc, you were right. She's got selective hearing. I think some of us have selective hearing when God's calling us to be his witnesses. We say, it's not for me. What I'm doing over here is much better. I don't want to do that. You know why? Because that takes us out of our comfort zone. That takes us out of those areas that we feel comfortable. But Jesus is telling me, I need you to wait because I'm getting ready to send you something that's going to help you, that's going to make it a lot easier, that's going to allow you to live the way I've called you to live. But look at what the question becomes from our 12 to 11 disciples. Is now the time? Look at verse 6 says, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time? In other words, they were saying, okay, I'm ready for my power. I'm ready to overthrow the Roman government. I'm ready for us to rule. They have done us bad for years. It's our turn. It wasn't a bad question. A lot of times they get a lot of flack. They were just confused. How many times you read the Bible, you get a little confused? Me too. Yes, some of those passages, I'm like, really? God, why did you have to put that in there? You're calling me to love somebody that just cheated me? That's hard. But that's why he's given us his spirit to help us to do what we don't think we're possible to do. And so look at the disciples' view of the kingdom of God, what they had envisioned. They had envisioned an earthly kingdom of power and political might. And Jesus corrected them and said, no, it's more about a spiritual and a global mission. They focused on Israel. Jesus's focus was on the nations. They wanted it immediate. Jesus said, wait for the Holy Spirit and be my witnesses. And so at times, we need Jesus to correct our view and understanding that his timing is best. I know we don't like to wait, but God's timing is best. Look at his response. He said, it is not for you to know times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. He didn't really rebuke them. He just says, not yet. It's not time yet. But what I'm going to tell you, what it is time for, verse 8, your power is coming, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Understanding that Jesus was preparing them by giving them what they needed, and it wasn't political power. It was spiritual power. How many of you know we're in a spiritual battle? It's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual war. And he sent the Spirit to give us power, to enable us to be good witnesses. A good witness just shares what they experienced. As I often say, people can argue the Bible all day long, but they can't argue your testimony, what God did for you, how God showed up in your life. I had been praying for God to move in a situation for a while. This week, God showed up, and he showed out greater than I could ever imagine. After I got done praying, my wife said XYZ was happening. And I was like, wow, I've been praying for that. And as soon as I got done, she shared all that God was doing. It's one of those testaments, sometimes we give up on prayer. We think God's not listening. We think that God is slow to answer. God's always working. You just don't know how God's working on the other half of the prayer request that you're praying for. Don't give up on prayer. Don't give up on seeking God for answers. Continue to seek him because he wants us to be his witnesses. He wants us to share his message. He wants us to live life on mission. Look for opportunities to share the love of Christ with somebody. You know what that means? Just learning to be kind to your neighbor. Kindness goes a long way. Everybody's looking for love, but too many times they're finding it in the wrong way. They go to a place called Cheers, where everybody knows their name. They go to a place where they don't feel like they'll be judged. They go to a place where they feel like they can take all the layers off because they look around the room and say, you're a little worse off than me, so I can be okay. Shouldn't that be said about the church? People should go and want to go where people are known for who they really are and not who Pastor Barry says you need to be this. No. Pastor Barry says you need to be on a journey becoming more like Christ. You should strive to live like Christ. Does that mean we don't stumble? Yeah. But his grace is sufficient to get us back up. And so he gave them the power, and then he gave them the pathway. He says, start in Jerusalem. Start with the people you already know. People who already know you, start there. And then start branching out. Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. Who's in your circle that you would commit to start praying for, that God would open their eyes to the truth of their need for salvation? I think too many times we're asking God for things instead of people. And I have a theory, because people are messy. Ministry is messy. And you feel like you're going to mess it up. But the Spirit of God will lead and guide you into all truth. And so he told them, it's good that I go, because the Spirit will come and it will assist you in making disciples. And then we end with the ascension. Look at Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. After he said this, he was taken up, and as they were watching, a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven." They're sitting there as Jesus was going, watching. They were gazing. They were just looking. They were idle. They weren't doing what the Lord asked them to do. A lot of times we hear, but we won't do. We'll look at Scripture, but we won't follow. Jesus was calling them. The two men in white were angels that were telling him, "This same Jesus that left you, he's coming back. Don't worry, but go do." So the challenge is real clear. It's the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them everything, and lo, I am with you to the end of the age. As you are going, will you join me in sharing the message and the hope of Christ? Acts chapter 1 started with Jesus is alive. I proclaim to you today, Jesus is alive. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he's charging each one of us. We only have one master with one message, Jesus saves. One mission, the nations. Will you join me in reaching the nations with the truth of the gospel, the good news? We all know we all have a problem, and there's only one remedy, and his name is Jesus. Will you bow with me? Father, we thank you for Jesus and his life and his ministry. We thank you for the charge that he gave his disciples to share his message and to be witnesses of all that Jesus did in their life. God, help that be our testimony, that we would share all that Jesus is doing in our life. Help us not to have selective hearing. Help us not to say that's for the apostles. Help us to hear your voice today, calling us to reach out to those who don't know you so that they can have fellowship with you. And so, Father, empower us with your Spirit that we would actually be doers today. God, that we would see that one that you would have us to reach. And God, that you would start preparing hearts to let the seed of the gospel fall on good soil and grow 30, 60, 90, 120 times. And so, Father, I pray that you would move as only you can. We ask you all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing one more song. And this is your time to talk to God. If you need prayer, we'll be down front for prayer. If you just need to sit and ask God, who's that one? That's your time too. Or if you want to sing with us, whatever God's calling you to, say, yes, here I am. Please stand.